I'm Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection. Has the state of Vermont figured out a way for the rest of the country to live with the idea of gay marriage? The Vermont State Supreme Court ruled last December that gay couples were entitled to the same rights as heterosexual couples, and then they left it up to lawmakers to come up with a plan to end discrimination against gays and lesbians. Yesterday, the Vermont State Senate passed a bill that offers marriage benefits for gay couples. It stops short of letting them marry. It lets same-sex couples enter into so-called civil unions. So by skirting the M word, the law dodges some of the religious opposition to gay marriage, and it gives gay and lesbian couples most of the rights of married couples. The governor says he will sign the legislation, so sometime this summer, Vermont will become the first state in the country to give sweeping rights and benefits to gay couples. So the question now is, as goes Vermont, so goes anyone else. Connection listeners, for better or worse, for richer, for poorer, from this day forward, can you honor and obey the idea of civil unions for gay couples? Our phone is 1-800-423-8255 for 1-800-423-TALK. To make the gay marriage connection this hour, joining us in the studio is Mary Bonato, who's the Civil Rights Director at the Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders. She was co-counsel in Baker versus State, the case that put this issue before the Vermont legislature. Dudley Clendenin joins us by phone. He's a member of the New York Times editorial board and co-author of the book Out for Good, The Struggle to Build a Gay Rights Movement in America. I'd like to start with Mary Bonato. I mean, first, sort of, why Vermont? What's the history here of this legislation? And then we'll get to the question of whether this civil union formula wins the day.
Thanks, Chris. I'm happy to be here. There is actually a lot of history here, but to tell the short story, if I may, yep. Vermont has a very independent streak in the civil rights area. Way back in 1777, when it enacted its first constitution, it became the first state to forbid slavery. It allowed all men, and not just property owners, the right to vote. So it never forbade interracial marriage, although over 40 states in this country did so at one point or another. And then to fast forward to more recent years, Vermont was one of the first states to forbid discrimination based on sexual orientation in employment and housing and so on.
When was that?
That was actually in 1992. Hmm. It has a hate crimes law that forbids, that mentions sexual orientation. It provides domestic partnership health insurance benefits to state workers. It became the first state in 1993 at the state Supreme Court level to approve of second parent adoption, which is a legal process whereby an unmarried couple, including a same-sex couple, can both have a legal tie to their child, even though the parents have no legal tie to each other and they remain legal strangers. Hmm. And then, remarkably, in 1995-96, the Vermont legislature, in the process of revising its adoption laws, decided to write that decision into law. So they essentially supported that. And really, for a lot of people in Vermont, the next step really seemed to be marriage. And back in 1995, a group of Vermonters got together, called themselves the Vermont Freedom to Marry Task Force, and did something that's not very glamorous but terribly important, which is they went out and talked to their neighbors at fairs, at rotary clubs, at homemakers associations, and tried to say, this is who we are, and this is why we think we really need to have the benefits and protections and responsibilities of marriage. And they put a human face on this issue for years. And then eventually what happened, of course, is that people got themselves quite excited and thought, why should we wait for any case from Hawaii, which of course was percolating through the courts for years and years, why not do it here? And then in 1997 we did decide, in fact, to file a case, and I worked with two Vermont attorneys on that, Beth Robinson and Susan Murray. We filed that case in 1997, had oral argument in front of the Vermont Supreme Court in November of 1998, and then in December of 1999, finally got our decision. And in many ways, the decision's terrific. The court held unanimously that same-sex couples are constitutionally entitled to all of the same benefits and protections and responsibilities that are accorded to different-sex couples through the marriage laws. And that's great. And that was the constitutional violation that they identified. Mm. But rather than order the issuance of marriage licenses, which is what we had expected if we were to win, they instead, as I think an act of deference to their sister branch of government, the legislature, They said, legislature, we're going to give you the first opportunity to remedy this constitutional violation. You can craft a remedy. You can figure out how to fix this. Obviously, one way to fix it is by changing the marriage laws and allow same-sex couples to marry. Another way of doing it might be to create some sort of parallel system. And we're not saying whether or not that would pass constitutional muster, but you might want to look at some of the registered partnership laws that exist in the Scandinavian countries and so on and so forth. And that landed us in the legislature in early January, and that's been that's how we got to where we are now.
Yeah, but the Vermont resolution of the whole matter is precisely not to use the word marry or marriage. When whose idea was that? And who and we got to then get to the fundamental question as to whether that sort of beats the rap on the whole movement. Whose idea was it to just get around the whole marry word?
Well, I think in some ways it was the court that planted the suggestion by suggesting that there might be some sort of parallel system that could be created that would still provide all of the benefits and protections of state law but could go by a different name. So the legislature, after this is the House Judiciary Committee I'm talking about at this point, which was 11 citizen legislators who really, I think, rose to their historic role, but they took testimony for weeks and weeks. And we tried very hard to persuade them that the simple thing to do, the fair thing to do, the equal thing to do would be to change the marriage statutes. And they didn't do that. They decided in February to move in a different direction. And then different names started kicking around: domestic partner, registered partner, civil domestic union. And finally, the Freedom to Marry community in Vermont settled on the term civil union as one that they felt at least conveyed a sense of dignity. It's a different term from domestic partner, which is used in many workplaces to really just signal that you're going to get health insurance benefits, which of course is very limited compared to the hundreds of rights and responsibilities that would be available through a civil union process. So people settled on that term, and eventually the House agreed with using that term and went on to draft a law that in some ways is really quite breathtaking.
Yeah, it is, and it's interesting, but is it half a loaf? Is it three quarters of a loaf? Is it all but one slice of the loaf? I mean, what was the symbolic value for the gay movement of using the word marry? We think we know what the objections on the other side were to the use of the word marriage, but how important is that word compared to the benefits and the recognition?
Well, first of all, I want to just step back 1 second, because this is not over yet. It's true that the Senate voted yesterday overwhelmingly in support of the civil union bill, but we have one more vote ahead, which is in the House of Representatives next week. And on Tuesday, they'll decide whether or not to ratify the changes made by the Senate. And I have to tell you, it's a horse race. The vote last time in the House was a 6-vote margin. And obviously, our opponents are working very, very hard to turn a few people so that the bill will go down. So there's no guarantee that we're going to end up with the civil union bill next week. We're obviously hopeful. We hope people will stand by their principles and whatever it is that motivated them to vote in favor in the first place should continue to do so.
Principles aside, if they stand by their last vote, I mean, are you home free?
Yes, then we're home free. And then it goes to the governor, and the governor has said he'll sign it enthusiastically.
Our phone is 1-800-423-8255. We're talking about the civil union for gay partnerships in Vermont. 1-800-423-TALK. George Chavon joins us by phone from the State House in Montpelier. He's a member of the Vermont House of Representatives. George Chavon, you don't like this bill, I take it?
Well, I think it's probably gone a little bit too far. Our group, the Traditional Marriage Caucus in the House, which is roughly 70 people out of 150, have always wanted to defend marriage as it is and not redefine it. And they certainly believe that same-sex couples should have benefits and protections. I believe what happened here in this bill is that it has just gone a bit too far, and it has zeroed in not on same-sex couples but on a specific class of same-sex couples, and that's gays and lesbians. That's one of the things that bothers us, that it is narrowed down to that, and that it has been pushed through in a way that's so fast that people haven't really had a chance to even examine the benefits and protections that marriage has and examine those, and then examine what same-sex couples should have.
What do you mean? Is it confusing heterosexual couples that are living together, or fathers and sons living together, or what?
The example that's used is the maiden aunts. That's the one primarily, and maiden aunts cannot are forbidden to are out of the civil union. They can't get a civil union. They can get a reciprocal benefits, which has far less benefits involved. And but the two maiden aunts that are running the farm, that are trying to keep the household together, they're excluded from all these benefits, and it is zeroed in for gays and lesbians. And you know, from the get go, our group is not tried to stay away from two things: religion and homosexuality. The homosexuality comes in because the three couples that sued are homosexuals, and that the bill then has now been steered to be a bill that is clearly down that line and is aimed towards the future. It's very clear to get exactly what Mary has mentioned, to get same-sex marriage. And that's something that we believe is not correct because of all the historical reasons and so forth.
So what's going to happen in the further vote in the House of Representatives?
Well, there's a lot of people looking at different options that could probably one of the biggest things, the thing that's bothered the people the most, as you may know, the people of Vermont are very upset with this. And it's not a matter of not giving rights to people. It's a matter of how fast this has gone through. I mean, 18 months in the Supreme Court, and my gosh, we're talking about 2 or 3 months in the legislature, and things, there's nowhere near the detail review required of a normal bill that's been given to this bill. It's absolutely on a crash course, and I'm not quite sure why. And that's one of the things that's bothered people a lot. And if we could figure some way to slow it down, that would be probably the ideal thing. So that we could look at it in a more and more careful way.
From afar, it would seem to me that you have, you know, the traditional marriage caucus has won a substantial piece of what you wanted simply by not revising the marriage laws and not calling gay unions marriages.
That's great. That's great, Chris. But the point of it is, the way the bill has been set up and the way the debate went on the House floor, any move that would clearly define marriage as that of one man and one woman has been rejected. There's some things in there that say marriage is a man and a woman. But, you know, you can say marriage is a man and a woman, and next year you can say marriage is da-da-da, and so forth. What we've tried to do is to put in some very specific wording, such as a man shall not marry another man, put that in the consanguinity portion of the act of the current marriage laws, or a woman shall not marry another woman. That's been fought tooth and nail by the promoters of civil unions, which makes one wonder what is the overall position here? What's the agenda? And it looks like it's much broader than Vermont.
Mary Bonato, if we're leaving the marriage laws intact, what's the objection to saying men shall not marry men?
I don't know how many times you have to kick somebody in the head. This bill, in both the House and the Senate version, defines marriage as the legal union of one man and one woman. That's what the state Supreme Court said in its decision. It said that's what Vermont statutes are. And our position is, how many times do you have to kick somebody when they're down? This bill is about promoting rights, about trying to extend the benefits and protections of marriage to same-sex couples. The court found right now, in the way our society is constructed, the government sets up marriage, civil marriage, as a way of providing lots of protections to families. And the focus of this bill is saying, we're not going to pretend anymore that same-sex families don't exist. They do exist among us. They're our own families. They're our neighbors. They're our community members. Mm. And they need the same protections. Their children need the same protections the state provides through marriage.
George Chavon says they're trying to keep religion and homosexuality out of the debate. Is homophobia and traditional religion actually firing up the other side, would you say, or not?
Well, traditional religion and homophobia obviously play a part in any group of people, but it is our group, our legislators, are not on that included in that group whatsoever. And the business of homophobia and being called bigots and intolerant and so forth and not wanting to give rights is a false claim. I mean, the Supreme Court itself, in its findings, said that discrimination and interracial marriage were not a parallel to this, and that clearly they brought it out very clearly. That was a case of white supremacy. It was not discrimination. It was not a rights. So rights issue is a phony issue. And back to what Mary said, the fact that, you know, how many times can you kick somebody in the head? I think that is just a specious type of an argument. I just don't understand it because it's very simple. You know, does it kick somebody in the head when you say in a consanguinity thing that a man cannot marry his mother? I mean, is that kicking somebody in the head? No. We have laws. We have things. And we believe that. And I don't know why. And the way that has been so vehemently fought makes you realize that it's part of a more of a national type agenda to spread, to come back, get marriage in Vermont, and then start spreading it around the country. And I don't think there's any denial of that. It's pretty clear.
Mary Bernardo, I mean, is he playing it both ways on homophobia?
He's playing it both ways, absolutely. Homophobia has been alive and well in this whole debate. Some of the major arguments of our opponents are, number one, that being gay itself is sinful and an abomination, and that many people came forward and said that changing marriage or allowing same-sex couples to receive any of these benefits violated their religious views. I should also just say that there were many, many, many people of faith who came forward, including the Episcopal Bishop of Vermont, the Methodist Bishop of Vermont, conservative rabbi, very well respected in Vermont. Many people of faith came forward and not only supported civil unions, they supported marriage.
Yeah,
so
I
the religious views, I think, are really diverse. But in terms of the homophobia piece,
yeah,
you know, Representative, I certainly am not into making any accusations here, but when you say it's not a civil rights issue, to someone like me, that sounds like you're saying that my having access to the same rights and benefits that other people take for granted is not something that I'm, you know, entitled to even seek to be a full citizen in this society. I do very much see it as a civil rights issue, and we heard yesterday, for example, one senator say several times, this is not a civil rights issue, it's a sex issue, and to be reduced to acts that may or may not exist and the same kinds of acts that different sex couples engage in is insulting. So I do think both are alive and well in this debate.
1-800-423-8255 makes the civil union connection around the Vermont legislation. Dudley Clendenin joins us by phone from Baltimore. He's the author of Out for Good, a 30-year history of the gay rights movement in this country. What kind of a landmark is Vermont this week, Dudley?
Morning, Chris. I think
Welcome.
It's a remarkable moment in lots of ways. The issue of whether the broader culture will respect the love and commitment between two homosexuals is the one issue that binds up all the others in the question of equal standing in the culture. I mean, it has elements of politics, of sexuality, of religion, of psychology, and of basic neighborhood. And so it's fundamental, I think, to any achievement of sort of equal respect, which is what this movement and any civil rights movement have always been about. But this movement is interesting, and it's different from some in this way. Its progress is always dependent on the willingness of people who are gay or lesbian to stand up and to have the courage to stand up and declare that, because they can pass. You know, most people who are gay and lesbian can pass as heterosexual and don't have to enter the battle. They don't have to be discriminated against in that way unless they want to lead an honest life, which is what democracy is all about. But it also depends on the courage of legislators, people in elected public office, to understand that homosexuals are discriminated against because they are seen as of a different kind. And so it's dependent on legislators, most of whom are heterosexual, to understand the discrimination against people who are unlike themselves in one way, and to be willing to risk their political careers and perhaps the opprobrium of the, you know, popular majority to vote to end that discrimination. And that's what's so remarkable about the vote in the Senate in Vermont this morning. Now, whether that continues, whether the House votes again to support this legislation is, you know, not clear yet. And I think Mary Bonato is right to caution us about that. But
Dudley, what is the significance, and politically down the road ahead, of this civil union phrase and the waltz around the marriage word?
Well, talking about the future is always interesting and dangerous, and I sort of try not to do it. But, you know, I think there are two trends merging here in a way. One, the larger culture. I mean, we all know that fewer and fewer people live in the traditional sort of married couple with children, everybody at home in one house model. I think it's something less than 30% of the population at this point. More and more people are of all kinds are opting to live together without benefit of religious marriage, and now, at least in one state, homosexuals have the right of most of the legal rights that pertain to marriage, which is a civil, you know, marriage is a civil ceremony. It's not the church which marries, in fact, people. It is the state which licenses them to be joined. And it's a question of respecting the larger culture, respecting the love and commitment between two people and honoring that simply for what it is. Vermont is, you know, in the kind of tradition that Mary Bonato mentioned earlier, it's a very New England act. It's a classically New England act. It's the region that supported abolition. It's the region that supported the vote for women in the last century and through this century and has supported this movement. But it's an element, you know, that I think it will come in other places. I wouldn't predict where, but I'll say that at the beginning of the modern movement, at the very start of the 1970s, the first really public figures in the movement were a couple of men, one of whose name was also Baker, Jack Baker, and his partner, Michael McConnell, and they applied for and were able to get a marriage license in Minnesota and were married by a United Methodist minister who was promptly fired by his bishop. And the Supreme Court invalidated their marriage, but it has been something which has been sought by not all homosexuals, but just as it's not sought by all heterosexuals, but by many people who are gay and lesbian because it honors what they feel for each other. And this seems to be a middle way out.
Stand by, if you would,
sure.
With George Chavone and Mary Bonato. We're talking about Vermont's definition of a civil union for gay couples. 1-800-423-8255. Chris is calling from a car phone.
Hello.
Welcome, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Yeah, welcome.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I first wanted to just state I'm very much supportive of civil unions for homosexuals. I do not approve of equating that with marriage. And the reason and my question to your guest is I believe that where the distinction between civil union and marriage is important is not with regard to the rights of the adults, but with regard to the welfare of children and what the state should promote as the environment in which children should be raised. I believe adults should be allowed to live in any way they want, but then I think what I would encourage is can we shift the debate a bit and talk about should the state get involved in what is the right environment for children to be raised, and should that be a basis for distinguishing between marriage and civil union? And with my question posed, I'll sign off. Thank you.
Chris, thank you. Although I would have asked you, does the non-involvement of the marriage word get you behind the Vermont resolution here? Mary, would you answer Chris's question about children?
Sure, and before I do, just to put in my two cents about the civil union versus marriage distinction, insofar as we have religious opponents on this issue, the civil union language has not mollified them one whit. But by talking about civil unions rather than marriage, it has allowed the focus to be placed on the state's role in providing protections for families rather than the emotional baggage around the word marriage. And in that way, the term civil union is perhaps a brilliant political compromise. Time will tell. On the child-rearing front, it's actually a great question because there are many, many, many gay and lesbian people raising children proportionally as many gay people have kids living under age 18 in the home as heterosexual people. There's some gap for gay men and heterosexual men, but it's actually remarkably close. So there are many, many gay people raising children. And, of course, the issue around child-rearing and around procreation was front and center in the Vermont case because it's one of the things that the state of Vermont put forward as a justification for discriminating in marriage, and the court rejected it all across the board for a whole variety of reasons. I mean, if you go back to the legislature's action in approving of second parent adoption, the legislature was in a sense saying, we know that there are children who are being raised by gay and lesbian couples. We don't want to withhold protections and benefits from those kids. And for the most part, of course, as we know, the state does not interview parents to see what kind of parents they are or anything else. And what all the research shows is that gay and lesbian parents do as good a job as any other parent does. The real issues are the commitment you make to the child, the time you spend with the child, the love you have for the child, and not sexual orientation.
George Chabon, does the bill satisfy you in the protection of children?
I want to say, first of all, that there are many, many loving gay and lesbian couples that could just do a fine job of raising children. There's no question about that. That's not the issue. We're looking for what is there are many groups like my maiden aunts that could raise children, but unfortunately can't get those benefits, all the other benefits of a civil union. But the bottom line is that we believe that the best model for children is a man and a woman. Okay, there are a lot of reasons why men and women in our culture established marriage. A kind of marriage existed way before the state ever even recognized it. I mean, marriage was a man and a woman, protection for the woman and the children especially, and we believe that's the best model, and we ought to aim for the best. Not to say that there aren't people, other groups, other couples that can't raise children, but we believe that the very best is a man and a woman, and that's why we feel that way.
Fair enough. We're talking about the political cause of the moment in Vermont. Under their Supreme Court's direction, the Vermont legislature has come very near to passing a civil union statute that would give legal protection to and recognition of gay couples. You're listening to The Connection. Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Allaire Corporation, empowering people with innovative internet technology and offering dynamic career opportunities at Allaire.com. I'm Christopher Ledden. This is the Civil Union Connection.
Wishing and hoping and thinking and praying, planning and dreaming each night of his charms that won't get you into his arms.
We're talking about the Vermont legislation that would recognize gay partnerships in a so-called civil union. Is this the resolution that the whole country could manage around the gay marriage issue? 1-800-423-8255 makes the connection with Mary Bonato, who has argued this case before the courts and the legislature. Also, the legislator George Chabon from the Vermont House of Representatives, who doesn't like this bill, and Dudley Clendenin, the historian of the 30-year struggle for a gay rights movement in this country. The book called Out for Good. 1-800-423-TALK makes the connection. Irene is on the line. Irene, welcome.
Welcome. I was wondering, actually in listening for the past part of the hour, I see you are touching on the point I was going to make, which is that this conflict between the civil idea of a marriage contract and the sort of amorphous religious idea of a marriage is as old as English and therefore to a large degree American common law. I mean, the legislator has already made the point that people marry one another. And in the medieval church, as long as the church and the state law were pretty much one, the individuals married on the church porch because that was a civil union. And then it was blessed in the church. And when, after the English Reformation, the law split off from the secular law split from the church law, you then began to have the legislatures make numerous statutes saying what marriage was. And so this is a history of the legislature defining marriage and even sometimes defining it for just certain groups of people. For example, a legal marriage in England up to and including the 19th century would not have included any member of the royal family.
Irene, I'm not clear about the bearing on the Vermont argument.
Well, the point is that the Vermont legislature is now making a kind of marriage, legal, civil contract marriage, that applies to a certain group of people. They're within their rights to do this. But I think it's interesting that this conflict of what's civil and what's kind of a spiritual or religious idea of marriage is a conflict that goes back in English and American common law to about 1200. It's sort of everything old is new again. But I would like to close by taking exception to the statement of the legislator that these laws were for the protection of women and children. I don't think there's a whole lot of protection for women and children in American marital law until well into the 20th century. I mean, illegitimate children, for example, were disinherited wholesale until the second half of the 20th century.
Mary Bonotto?
Irene, I appreciate your comments, partly because there aren't a lot of historians out there of marriage, and it's really true that after the Reformation, that marriage became a civil issue, even though, of course, there remains a religious component of it for some people. But the other part of your comments that I appreciate is that it really illustrates how marriage has changed over the years. In this country, really, in relatively recent times, there were bans in many, many states on interracial marriage, and it wasn't until 1967 that the United States Supreme Court finally said, in a case involving the state of Virginia, that marriage is a fundamental right that's vital to human happiness, and it belongs to all Americans, and you can't discriminate based on race. And we really think that now we're talking about discrimination based on sex and on sexual orientation. As you've just pointed out about protections for women and children, it used to be in the 19th century that when women married, they lost all their rights. They didn't have any independent legal existence. And, of course, now, in the year 2000, marriage is an institution of formal legal equality between men and women, another huge change, and not one that went over lightly. Divorce for 70 years was a huge emotional battle in this country. There were proposals in Congress to nationalize the law of marriage and divorce because people were so concerned about divorce and what one state did versus what another state did. So really, in this case, we have one state leading the way. As one senator said yesterday, I hope Vermont doesn't always have to lead the way, but one state leading the way and saying, we're going to recognize that same-sex families exist and we want to support them. We think it's not only the right thing to do under the Constitution, it's the right thing to do for the state of Vermont.
George Chivone, do you want equal time here?
Well, I just would say that back to the protection of women and children, I'm maybe kind of crude, but I look at the early days of men's running around, chasing everything around, swinging from trees, and finally we somehow or other society said, you know, we better tame these guys down. We better get them together to protect the women, because since they provide the children, and they are kind of at a disadvantage at that time, they need protection, and I think we better settle it down. So what we did, our society way back established a marriage, and then as they established marriage, they found that there were some other things that happened with a man and a woman being together. There was some synergism that occurred with the two personalities and so forth. So that's what's made the strength of it. Also, I go back to some of the history. You know, we don't have to go way back to the Middle Ages or wherever. We can talk about just early Vermont. Vermont recognized, they didn't create marriage, they simply recognized that it existed and licensed it and said, here are the rules for it. But they didn't create it.
But they do, in fact, define it. They say who may and may not enter into it. And they also, as the court has pointed out, that marriage has become essentially a modern-day emolument, freighted with hundreds of rights and protections. And if the state is going to create this institution and regulate who gets in and who gets out, it's certainly fair game for same-sex couples to say, we're human beings in the society as well. And actually, part of what I wanted to bring up that I found personally so encouraging about your state representative is just how the issue of common humanity has been so much a focus of not only the court decision, but of the debates. I mean, the court decision said, among other things, that when all is said and done, extending the Constitution to these plaintiffs is simply a recognition of our common humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And to have, I can tell you just from where I sit, having a court say that for the first time ever seems like a real breakthrough.
Did it trouble you, Representative Chivone? I wonder, what are the rights granted in this legislation that you object to? Including insurance benefits or inheritance benefits?
Yeah, first of all, I want to make a quick comment on what Mary said, and that is regarding same-sex couples is the name of it. And same-sex couples includes more than just homosexual couples, and that's the thing that's excluded in this bill.
Well, you'll grant, won't you, that it was three same-sex couples who brought this case,
exactly.
And that, of course, there could be another case, and there could be another
question,
of course.
That's true, and there could be many others. There could be bisexual couples now that could decide that they should be part of this. There could be, why not have more than one partner? Why not have groups of three and so forth?
Obviously, there could be
many other things like that, and I realize that. And that's the bottom line of where we're coming from, is that we don't want to redefine marriage. Certainly there are benefits and protections that are needed. Certainly there are. And certainly there are loving relationships, and they're fine neighbors. But it's not about whether homosexuals are fine neighbors. That's not the point. The point of it is how do you maintain and honor the idea of marriage of one man and one woman. That's the bottom line for us.
Forgive me. If you're going to leave the marriage question out, why not just leave it out?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, and okay. I wanted to ask, I wanted you to answer, which of the rights granted here, as I said, in terms of inheritance or visiting in hospital, whatnot, object to?
Those, so many of those could be put in place without going into the detail. I think what the thing that's, you know, if we talk about slap in the face to marriage, it's by going through the certification versus solemnization. I mean, that is the fact that it's, everything is parallel to marriage. It just did not have to be that way, and it's kind of a slap in the face for marriage, which makes people think it's an entirely, and not people, it's the kids that I'm primarily concerned with, that this is an option that they really ought to explore. And I don't think that is something, I think we ought to let people develop and go as nature provides them, and not be trying to cause kids, when they're going through identity crisis, to just fuel the fire there and say, well, gee, there's this other option.
It's the caller's turn. 1-800-423-8255. Wes is on the line.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, Wes.
I wanted to tell you I really enjoyed the last program and this one, and I think that, you know, it kind of helped to inspire me to feel like I very much needed to call on this program. I'm a born-again Baptist, and my sister is an ordained Baptist minister, and she helped pen the gay rights bill for the state of Minnesota. Unfortunately, that was not passed into law. I am a friend of many gay men. In my career, I'm an opera singer, and many of the people I work with are homosexuals, and I also know a lot of people through programs that I'm involved with that are homosexual men and women. And I find that the attitude of discrimination against homosexuals really promotes the promiscuity that takes place in the gay community, especially in the male gay community, because of the, you know, they're discriminated against, so they can't be openly affectionate, so they end up, you know, meeting people in the park and in the restroom and yada, 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 and these things are just very, very destructive to society. And on the whole, I think if we, you know, because of these prejudices against same-sex union and treating these people as equal human beings.
So you're for the bill?
Very much so. Well, I would prefer that it say marriage, definitely.
Okay. Dudley, do you want to comment on the sort of general drift of feeling here? I mean, is this still part of is the pendulum still swinging in American opinion in favor of coming to terms with gay sexuality?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it's undeniably swinging in terms of understanding and respect. Acceptance comes last always, but the progress. You know, this movement has made more progress in achieving its goals more quickly, I think, than any other civil rights movement in the history of the American Republic, and that may be because it is the least threatening to other people. But the great tension, you know, with this one, has always, as with the history of the country, has been to separate the notion of civil rights from religious beliefs. And it seems the action that the Vermont legislature is in the progress of taking, in the process of taking, at any rate today and tomorrow and the next day, whenever the House votes, it would seem to be very much in accord with that, because it would create a civil right without calling it by its religious name, which is marriage. And that will satisfy a lot of people. It will not satisfy all the people. And, you know, the representative made a comment earlier. He said we ought to let nature take its course. You know, I think nature is taking its course. All these issues, heterosexuals, homosexuals, have always been part of nature. And the idea of exclusion is one which is based on religious belief in this country. And this is a population which has always been defined by the sex laws in the United States. And those laws were based on early Christian belief, you know, from the English Parliament, from the church to the English Parliament, to the colonies to the states. And that's the long struggle and the process that is changing.
1-800-423-8255 makes the civil union connection. Dana is calling from Royalton, Vermont.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Welcome.
I got a couple things to say. I'm totally against it, and I have many, many friends that are. Do you know what this is going to do to Vermont if they, you know, if this is all passed?
What is it going to do?
It's just everyone's going to hoard up there. It's going to be like a colony. I mean, I can't even take my kid into the rest area now without somebody following me into the woods. I just can't see it being permitted when it isn't now and it's already a problem. What's the insurance going to be like with the diseases that go along with gay men? Who's going to pay for that? Is that going to come out of the taxes? I mean, if there's a boom of gay men coming up here and the age that goes with it, who's going to pay all this expense?
Whoa, hold everything, Dana. Mary, do you want to respond?
Sure. Dana, I know that this is a divisive issue for some people in Vermont, and I want to reassure you to the extent that I possibly can that gay people come in all sizes and stripes and everything else, and to characterize all gay people as promiscuous or all gay people as having AIDS is just, it's just wrong. And right now the fastest growing population with AIDS actually is heterosexuals, and the people with the lowest incidence of AIDS, by the way, happen to be lesbians. So I know that insurance is a big issue in the state of Vermont, and there's concerns about this, but I don't think those concerns really have to be focused on the civil union bill. I think what's going to happen with the civil union bill, should it become law, is there are going to be some people that have a whole lot more security and a whole lot more peace of mind. The sky's not going to fall in, and it's not going to take anything away from anyone else, including you.
Dana?
Well, it sounds good. You know, she can say what she wants, but I'm just telling you how me and a lot of other people feel about it. You know, it just seems like it's just going to be an epidemic, and if it's one state, why wouldn't everybody, I mean, it's just everybody's going to rush, you know.
Well, you know, Dana, I hope it's not just one state. I really think that one of the great things the Vermont Supreme Court did by saying that this is an issue about our common humanity is really, in a sense, issue a challenge to other states. Every other state has an equality provision in its constitution. Every other state has gay and lesbian families living among it. And I think that if we are successful in Vermont right now, and Vermont has the courage to pass a civil union bill, that other people are going to see that the sky didn't fall in, and they can actually live up to their rhetoric in other states and really protect all families who are living among them without, to the benefit of all.
Dana, keep us posted on pieces of the sky falling, even a little one. Let us know. The phone's 1-800-423-8255. Jerry is calling from Burlington, Vermont.
Yes, hi. I'm really glad I came on right after that fellow from Royalton, because I want to say, first of all, I was raised the same way he was, in a homophobic environment, a homophobic society, and I understand his fears. I've changed my attitude as much as I can. I still have all those memories from the past. Not because my daughter had a commitment ceremony last year, and came out a few years before that. That's not what changed me. What changed me is learning about gay people, just having gay friends and gay enemies. You know, they weren't all great. You know, I don't want to say that they're the most wonderful people in the world as a group, you know. But the fear he expresses is something that's common to especially men, I think. And I want to say I'm really proud to be living in Vermont that has taken the lead in this. And he says all of his friends are fearful of this. That's genuinely the truth. Phobia is a fear. But all of my friends are for it. And it doesn't really matter. Back in the 60s when we were demonstrating against the war, we were demonstrating for civil rights. We were in a vast minority at the beginning of the 60s. And it's not that gays are waiting to beat down the doors and rape us. You know, it's just simply not that. And more heterosexual sex crimes is done, of course, we all know that, than there is homosexual. So I want to support the bill. I want to support the people who are fighting for it. Thank you very much.
Jerry, thank you. Point taken. 1-800-423-TALK is the connection phone. Dina is on the line.
Hi. I wanted to speak to the idea that marriage shouldn't be touched, that it is an institution of one man and one woman. A long time ago, marriage was a pagan ritual that Christians frowned upon, and only celibate males could be true Christians and everyone else be damned. And over time, you know, our society has changed, and so has the definition of marriage. Later, it became a way for the church to get land from women, men to get land from women, and a way to disempower women. And it just, you know, now it's sort of leveling off more in some ways, but it's something that has to change as people change.
You're in favor of the bill, Dina.
Bingo.
Thank you. 1-800-423-8255. Patty is calling from Jeffersonville, Vermont.
Hi.
Welcome, Patty.
Thank you. I just wanted to call, you know, when I got on because of what Dana was saying in Royalton, Vermont. And I know I'm for the civil union bill, and even though my local representative voted against it, and I know lots of people, native Vermonters and people more recently moved here who are for it. And I also don't understand, I'm married, I have two kids, I don't understand why it's a threat to traditional marriage. And the other thing was, we got a mailing a couple weeks ago, anonymous mailing from somewhere in Underhill, Vermont, that was against the civil union bill, quoted lots of just outrageous scare things about AIDS. The most recent one was dated 1985. And they said a lot of things that Dana was saying, that they're afraid the state will be overrun by, and one thing they said was naked men walking down the street holding hands. And I don't know where all the hysteria is coming from, but there are a lot of people in Vermont who support the civil union bill.
I'd agree with that. I mean, what we know is from there were some town meetings where a number of towns voted on this. It was 4% of the electorate that voted against it. But what we think is out there is a very large, for the most part, silent majority who understand that they live among gay people and this is just not going to threaten them. One of the really moving pieces of the Senate testimony this week was a letter that was read by one of the senators from a woman who identified herself as a 78-year-old Catholic mother of eight. And she said this issue is not about statistics and it's not about biblical interpretation. In her case, it's about a farm family and a son who announced 26 years ago that he's gay. And she said in her letter, what could we do? We could cast him out or we could accept him unconditionally. We could patronize him or we could love him. She went on to say, we brought up our eight children with the same value system. Did we do something wrong? Our son would not have chosen persecution. He was just plain gay. I can only say that God blessed us with eight children, and God made no mistake when he gave us our gay son. And I think those kinds of voices are very important to be heard in all of this.
George Chabon, what's the rallying idea behind the opposition?
Well, what's changing in the last week or so, Chris, is the fact that there are a lot of politically moderate, middle-of-the-road people that are really getting involved now because they realize something is happening. And some of these people are on social issues, been very liberal on social issues, but this is one they're having a big problem with. And the silent majority that Mary talks about, I think the silent majority is very, very concerned about what's happening, especially the speed at which it's happening in Vermont. I think that's that is absolutely the thing that's got the people most upset, in fact, some on the other side also. We're not doing it carefully enough. We're way ahead of the people as far as what the people think. The people don't understand what's going on. And
are you not still working under a very clear mandate from the Supreme Court?
Supreme Court gave us a lot of freedom of what to do. The Supreme Court would certainly give us another year. Everybody understands that. It could have gone into a second session of the legislature. There's no question about that. Everyone agrees, even the head of the Judiciary Committee in the House, who said that we have worked very hard in this state to try to get testimony and evidence, but we all of a sudden we stopped because of a deadline, an artificial deadline put forward by the leadership in the House and Senate. And all of a sudden, it's got to be passed and moved out right now.
George Chivone, our hour is up. We'll be watching what you do very carefully. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Mary Bonato and Dudley Clendenin. Thanks for help today from Glenn Alexander, John Hoder, Stephen Belter, Rebecca Smuckler, and Kim Bichari. The Connection is produced by Catherine Bidwell, Hitesh Hatti, John Holt, Jill Kaufman, Amy McDonald, and Keith Shields. Mary McGrath is our senior producer. I'm Christopher Light, and this is The Connection from WBUR Boston. Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Allaire Corporation.
PRI, Public Radio International.
From Boston University, this is WBUR. Coming up on Here and Now at Noon, in addition to all the news, today it's the program that seeks to answer the question, is the Vermont Statehouse...